Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Yeah, I could take the edge off.
You know, it's not. I've been outside working, and it's just like my entire body is just like uber, like just like.
Oh well, yeah.
Feel it.
That's what happens when you do nothing for years and then do something.
Well, no, I was. You know, I got in like really good shape last year, like over the summer, like really good shape, weightlifting, exercise all the time. And I took a break over the winter. Like,
yeah, a couple months deletes all that.
Oh my god, it's just like it's gone 100%. Like,
yeah.
My body is like, I have some painkillers that I had left over from like an operation.
Yeah,
not too long ago.
I'm not exaggerating. Like if you're in shape, a few months of doing nothing will remove your body's memory of being able to do things. You'll be like, wow, I used to be able to bench press and not hurt like hell the next day. And it's like, yeah, well, it's gone.
Well, I mean, it's not even like lifting stuff.
No, just exertion.
I was digging a hole, and it was just
that's
like,
basically
that's
lifting
the
stuff.
Worst. I mean, it's that shoveling and everything.
Yeah,
like
that's a
that.
Huge
yeah.
amount of muscle groups you're activating when you're doing that.
My wife was like, "Well, that tree in our backyard's cut down. Let's put in some planter beds." And I'm like, "Well, if we're gonna put in planter beds, we're gonna do it right." So the last few days, I don't even know
what a planter bed is.
It's just raised beds for like plants. It keeps your vegetables.
Put pillows on there.
Yes, so your plants can get a nice night's sleep. Nice. No, it keeps the soil more moist. It's better for your garden to have a planter bed, and you know you put grates up around it so the rabbits don't come in and eat
your
moist.
Shit.
Yeah, I know. It's whatever. It's like suburban things to do. Actually, you could do that in the city too. It's actually pretty good to do in the city, but it's one of those. It's just I'm so physically exhausted.
You gonna
right
get a
now.
Chicken?
My wife wants chickens really bad. Like
you gotta
she's
get at least
been
two.
What?
You gotta get at least two.
I'm not against getting chickens, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to do the whole chicken thing because. There's the person who's going to be in charge of those chickens is going to be me because my wife, God bless her, she's going to be like, take care of them all for like 2 months and then it's over.
Well, yeah,
that.
That's why
yeah.
you just get two chickens. They're not too bad. You're just going to, you know, keep an eye on them, make sure that they're going to need a place for the winter, though, because they will freeze.
Actually, we looked into it in that if you.
I mean, you can have a coop.
Yeah, you have to have a coop and everything like
right.
that. But if it's like as long as they don't get the wind on them. They're fine.
Yeah, so then you need a coop.
Yeah, and that's essentially what my wife wants me to build is a chicken coop, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. That's just, and plus I have this thing with, like, killing animals, like, you know, like when they get too old, like, you know, it's you make something out of the chickens, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to have to kill a chicken. That's not my thing. Like, I appreciate the concept of a farm fresh and, you know, doing that, that's fine. But at the same time, I just don't want to have to do that. That's not me.
I mean, you could just keep them until they die and then bury them.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could do that too. But, I mean, that's like a waste. I mean, like, you to the end of their life cycle.
I mean,
yeah.
People really should eat their dogs before they die, right?
Yeah. You take them over to the Korean place. You get them made to barbecue. It's
wow.
all good.
Went straight to the racism. As expected.
It's easy. It's Korean. You know, it's not many Korean listeners. It's Kim Jong-un is like listening to this. He's like, we have to kill them now. New game classy.
Actually, it would just be you.
Yes.
I'd be like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, great leader.
It's a glorious leader.
Yeah, I'm sorry, glorious leader.
Oh, you just did it. You called him great instead of glorious. You're doomed now.
He's beyond glorious. He's resplendent.
Resplendent leader.
So I'd be safe. You're going in one of those little boxes.
I'm going in the box, the North Korean box.
You're going in a box.
Resplendent leader.
You're never gonna see again.
Oh man. Oh God. Yeah, I'm just like right now. I'm like, I need alcohol. I need alcohol to numb this pain. Like last night, I think I finished off like a bottle of wine just by myself, just to numb the pain. So, anyway, welcome to Game Classy. It's been a while.
I don't think it has.
Well, we recorded early last time, so it's like a week and a half. Yeah. Two and a half weeks.
It's like a few days difference.
Yeah, it feels like a long time.
I mean, they won't know.
If I don't get my 2 weeks with Steve,
listeners won't know.
It feels a long time. Yeah, I know. Maybe in a voice, something a little more wistful. Mm. I don't know. I'm your host, Joe, and with me, as always, is the Kylo Ren to my Darth Vader, Steve.
Dude, that's not cool.
I know you hate Kylo Ren. I just, cool. I'm leaning into the Steve hates Kylo Ren thing. That's just, I'm just going to do
Couldn't you at least call me your Grand Moff Tarkin?
My Grand Moff Tarkin.
Because then I could just be Peter Cushing, who's fucking awesome. Nah. Dude, I'd even take Dooku.
Yeah, oh, man. My daughters have been obsessed with Episode 7 lately. That's all she's been wanting to watch. And it's like, I'm not even pushing it because I'm just like, you know, whatever. But she's just like, I want to watch it. So, and then like we went to Target for grocery shopping. She saw the Rey costume and she's like, this is all I want. I'm like, all right. So we got her the Rey costume and it's been ridiculous.
Like a manta ray costume?
Yes.
Like with a stinger?
With the stingray, yeah.
And a little dead Steve Irwin to stamp?
Yes. Crikey.
Nice.
All right, through the heart.
I'm going to get it real mad and get my hand all the way up its bum.
He died, Steve. He died for your sins.
He died doing what he loved, fucking with animals.
Yes. Yes. That crocodile is the most dangerous animal in nature. Watch me put my head in its mouth.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I'm sure it's been said many times, but like, he gets killed by one of the most docile fucking things on the planet.
It's like getting killed by a kitten.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, I grab venomous shit all the time with my bare hands, and you know, I'm around extremely dangerous animals 24/7. What kills you? Ah, manta ray. Like,
yeah.
What?
I mean, it was like, it's really weird, like, when you think about it, it's like, wow, that is the most freak accident known to mankind. I mean, granted, you're in the ocean, and we spent how many years of our evolution getting out of the oceans? Why would you want to go back in?
The ocean is a horrible, scary place.
That's me. I was raised in a city. I live in the suburbs. It's like, when people are like, yeah, we're going to go out camping, I'm like, why?
Yep, I agree. Like, I abhor nature. I love looking at nature.
Yeah.
I like watching, you know, I love biology and super interesting and, you know, yeah. Ecology and all, you know, everything involved with nature is really cool from an observation standpoint.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
But going inside like a tent, why?
Yeah,
it's that, almost A, I can't shit in a toilet in a tent. B, there's no internet.
Yeah.
C, I want to play video games and watch TV. I can't do that in a fucking tent. All I can do in a tent is be uncomfortable and cold.
The only thing separating me from a bear is a very, very thin piece of, like, vinyl. Yeah. I don't want anything to do with this.
Guess what? You know what's separating between you and the bear? Fucking nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. It's like we spent 2 billion years trying to get out of the ocean. We finally get out of the ocean. People are like, let's go swimming in the ocean. I'm like, no.
It's like that guy who lived with the bears. He's like, yeah, bears are peaceful. That guy's now bear poop.
Yeah. And it's the same thing. Like, why go out into nature and do that?
Yeah. I mean, but you know what? From an observation standpoint, like, I probably would even do like a trip to go like observe and then leave.
Yeah, like a safari.
Yeah,
you know, go to Namibia or like Tanzania or someplace like that. You go, you stay on like a nice reserve and you're like, okay, this is great, this has got all the amenities of a hotel and everything like that. Yeah, the internet's kind of shitty, but I'm in Africa, what do you expect?
Actually, their internet's probably better than ours,
probably. And then you're like, okay, I'm gonna go on safari. You hop in a little jeep, you drive around, you see a cheetah in a tree, you're like, wow, that's a cheetah in the wild. Great.
And then you go home.
Let's go back. I'm going to get my buffet,
yes.
You know, filled with exotic animals and food like that, and it'll be good.
Fruit and eggs.
Fruit, eggs, yeah. Maybe some zebra steak. You're okay with that.
Probably not zebra steak.
I don't know. I wonder how zebra tastes.
Probably not good.
You don't think zebra tastes good?
I don't think most wild animal tastes good. I think it all tastes kind of funky and gamey.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, but I mean, that's part of the appeal
but
of
that's
game.
Not appeal. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's,
well, I mean, it's all depends on how you cook it.
It's funk.
I've had bear before. Bear's been pretty good.
I've never had bear, but it's
bear chili.
It seems, well, yeah, I mean, if you chili it or you jerky it, it doesn't count. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. You have to, wild animals, you have to, because they taste like whatever it eats. So,
right, which is
like
random garbage.
Yeah, like deer tastes really good.
I like deer jerky a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I've had deer sausage and deer steak.
They're herbivores, so like they eat pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, so like
constantly.
When you eat a carnivore, though, like, I've had lion steak before.
Yeah, lion was fucking funky as shit.
It is pretty funky. I did not
care for it.
I think once again, it's how you prepare it that really is the thing that matters. Anyway, let's get into some gaming stuff. The Game Classy curse was in full effect. After, you know, as I said earlier, we recorded like a couple days earlier.
We recorded on Thursday and it was announced on that Friday.
Which we would have been like totally on top of. If we were just like
on Saturday,
like we normally do, and they announced awesome. Wormhords Mark 3,
yeah.
Or what do they call it? Are they calling it Mark 3?
They have not mentioned, but the fan base is calling it Mark 3.
Yeah.
But Privateer Press is calling it War Machine Prime, Wormhords Primal. they're not calling it Mark III. Or,
why can't they just, like, why won't they just combine it finally? This would be a perfect opportunity just to combine the worlds. Worlds collide.
I mean, they are combined. It's the same thing.
I know, but I get that. But I mean, like,
you buy the one you need to. You only need one, or yeah. if you play a faction for each, you need both. But yeah. It's because the mechanics, the powering mechanics, are just different.
Yeah, I think this would be the perfect opportunity for them to merge them, just like smoosh them together.
They don't want that. I don't think anyone wants that.
I know, but I mean, in tournaments, you're still gonna see you'll still see Trollbloods versus
right,
Menoth.
The rules are all the same except for the differences, focus and fury. That's the big difference.
I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it, but I mean, it's essentially the same thing just by different names. You could combine it together. It should be fine. But anyway, they announced Mark III, and I know Steve's been lamenting the staleness of Mark II for a very, very long time.
Yes.
And as I came over to
the general poopy butts of it,
I was like, Steve, you better know something about this, because I know nothing about what's going on with Warm Hordes.
They haven't revealed any full details yet.
Yes. The full Monty.
But that's coming June 12th, free rules.
Ooh,
so that's going up. And then at the end of the month, that's going to be available to buy. I've already pre-ordered my copy of Prime and Primal. So
do you still have that Crisis Army? Did you sell that?
Oh, it's gone.
Okay. I figure.
Yeah, it's gone. The Cyrus? Yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's Cyrus Crisis, they're gone. Whatever.
They actually got a huge buff. So I've been listening to the I've actually been pretty excited about it.
Okay.
I've been listening to all of the changes they make. So the big changes, they're changing the way Focus and Fury operates, is because I've said it before, one of the problems is like Fury is busted in the early game. Like, it's so much better than Focus. And then towards the end game, like, Focus is better. If you make it to the end game, because I think Hordes a lot of times beats War Machine when it has that Fury advantage.
Four or five turns in.
It has that when it has that advantage. But what they're doing now is instead of having to have your Warcaster put out all of its Focus, at the start of each allocation phase, when you generate your Focus, every one of your Warjacks gets a point for free. Just boop. They all get one. And then with Fury, the change they made is that you get a Fury point for a dead War Beasts. Because that was one of the problems with Fury, is like, if you kill their War Beasts, like, their Warlock is useless. He does nothing because he just can't cast. It's like, I don't have any Fury, so I can't do anything. So they just lose. So in order to balance that out, they now, if the War Beast is, if it's a light or heavy War Beast, it generates a Fury for dead. So like, when you if four of your War Beasts is dead, you still get four Fury a turn from them, so your Warlock isn't completely useless. So that's a big change, which is really good. They removed psychology tests from the game.
Oh really?
Fucking gone.
Wow.
Yeah, no panic, no terror, no fear. Like, it's just gone. Completely removed.
I know you hate psych in most war games.
I hate psych. Because my dice luck is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, fucking miserable. And the more randomness needs, the more I'll just be like, well, I just fucking fumbled that roll. You know, like I said before, I'm plenty of orc games where, like, they force a panic test on my general's unit before I get a turn, and I'm just like, boxcars, and just like, whoop, boxcars to flee off the table. I'm like, cool. And that's I do that kind of shit consistently. So anything that removes that kind of chance is good in my book.
Yeah.
And removal of psychology is huge. I'm interested to see what this does for Krix, because their army was very heavily dependent on, like, one of their biggest strengths was they were all immune to psych, and they also inflicted a lot of psych tests. Now, that was kind of their thing. They're the undead. It's their usual rule of thumb. So I'm interested to see what comes of that. Skill checks are gone. Because before, you used to, like, if you had a unit that wanted to cast a spell, like a solo or whatever, you'd have to make a skill check, which was two dice to roll under a value. That's gone. Now they just do it. So, like, a repair, like, if you had a repair guy, you had to, like, roll a repair check and then roll a randomness to see what the repair is. Now he just repairs. He's just like, boop, repairs for this much. Like, boom, done. So that's gone. Like, it seems they've removed every dice roll in the game except for
combat
to hit, to wound. That's it. Which is that's what you want. Especially in a game that builds itself as, like, the competitive miniatures game.
Yeah, I could see that being a lot more on the competitive edge, because part of what keeps games from being super competitive is that the randomness.
Yeah, the super
So now
randomness.
This is more skill-based, how you allocate your resources, as opposed to
Getting diced. Yeah.
Which is interesting, because I've actually had this conversation with a couple different people that I feel that there's no dice consistency anymore. Like, and it's weird to say, but, like, back in the day of GW, everyone played with GW dice, essentially, is what they did. Now, with the kind of mass exodus of people to different game systems, people are playing more with, like, ChessX or just other random dice. I mean, there's lots of companies who are making custom dice. Now, how well balanced those custom dice are is really, really funky.
Well, it's an interesting thing you bring about dice. Like, if you wanted to have 100% competitive tournament, you need to
Vegas dice.
Standardize the dice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Vegas literally has the most standardized dice you could ever possibly get.
You could use them or Game Science.
And Game Science is pretty good, too. But I think Game Science might even use the same company. But the way they're
cut from a sprue.
Well, yeah, that might not work too well. But the way that the Vegas dice are is the reason why Vegas dice are so clear is so you can't see any bubbles in them.
Right. Well, yeah, the Game Science dice are clear. But Game Science dice are within like 0.001 micron of error.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, for non-randomness. So they're going to be the most random possible dice.
Well, and that's why I think that
because Chessex and stuff, they're tumbled. They're rock tumbled. So they generate they're still pretty fucking random, but they will, over time, you'll see where they lean. You'll be like, oh, these dice lean higher or these dice lean lower.
Exactly. And I've seen it before in tournaments where guys come in with certain dice and they're just rolling hot. And you're just like, is this just luck or is this because they just got a good batch of dice? And I've seen that become kind of an issue as of late in a lot of things because there's a company out of Australia that's producing dice for bolt action, and a lot of people are getting those, and those dice roll hot so often, and it's kind of ridiculous.
One of the other ways to circumvent this completely is both my preferred version. What I would do if I was running a tournament, I would actually enact this as a rule, and shared dice.
That works too.
You use the same dice, so if your dice are hot, they'll be hot for me too. Like if you
that works too. That wouldn't be too hard to do for a tournament. Like you buy a pack of, I don't know, 12 dice. You put it in the center of the table. You say you only can use these dice when you're rolling.
Yeah, I prefer that because then there's no question. And there were people caught at the bunker who were cooking dice.
Yeah, I mean
I can't remember his name, but he was straight up they were you cooked these dice, and he's like, yeah, I did. And he's like, I admit it, and they kicked him out. And I was like, yeah, the dude cooked his dice. And that happens.
And that's why I think that they're the Vegas dice are a great example because they are clear. They're see-through.
Yeah, translucent dice are important to mitigate the cheating.
That's a new rule for the Game Classy tournament that we're going to run at some point in the future.
Shared dice.
They'll be clear. No issue.
That's one of the things that in Pokemon tournaments for the card game. Coin flipping is a big deal, and everyone uses a dice instead.
Yeah.
But the official rules state it has to be a translucent die.
Yeah.
And both players, they recommend both players share the same dice.
The only thing I don't like about the Vegas dice as opposed to any other dice, we'll get back to War of Hordes in a second.
They're big.
They're huge, and I hate big dice. I like small dice.
I like them for psych tests where you're only rolling two. And actually, they'd be fine for War of Hordes because unless something changes, the max amount of dice you can ever really roll is five.
Yeah, it's low, and it's
and that's unlikely. Yeah. Five is not common.
Yeah,
because that means you need to be boosted and have several
other
buffs.
Like I think I was max rolling three back when I was playing.
Because a normal is two and then boosted is three, but you might have weapon master, which gives you an additional, and then a buff, which can the max is five.
Five, yeah,
and that's with many buffs. So for warm hordes, casino dice are ideal, probably.
Yeah, I mean it's just they're big, and with mini dice and with mini games too, is you don't want to have those big, you're rolling eight of those big dice and they tumble onto the table and smack into all your models.
Right, yeah. I also recommend.
Well, you like smacking into other people's models. Take that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I throw it. I hope they just don't notice I'm whipping dice at their models.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent of dice trays.
Dice trays are nice.
And just chuck your dice in there. I like that. Big changes. So the Focus Fury thing's getting changed. They're removing a lot of randomness. Pre-measuring is in, which is really funny because there's so many crybabies about that right now. There's oh, it doesn't take any skill, which is stupid because the game has a rule. The game had a rules loophole written into it, which was you can measure your warcaster's control area at any time. Which means pre-measuring was already in the fucking game. You just couldn't call it that, and you had to be a dick about doing.
I mean, I think pre-measuring is unless you are playing a absolute friendly game. Pre-measuring is kind of a thing because people cheat all the fucking time.
Pre-measuring is the standard for miniatures games.
Yeah.
War Machine and Horror. I mean, I don't know about Butt Action, but...
No, there's no pre-measuring in Butt Action, but...
Okay, so then that's the only miniatures game that I'm aware of that's currently being supported that doesn't have pre-measuring. The big one, War Machine Horde, they were the last one. 40K is pre-measuring, Fantasy is pre-measuring.
What's Fantasy?
Fantasy had pre-measuring. Kings of War has pre-measuring. Dark Age... Wrath of Kings, so many games are just pre-measure because it eliminates the most common rule, like just straight up eliminates the most common rules complaint argument of like that guy was a half inch out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's like, because I mean that's and like in fantasy and stuff like that was like the difference between winning or losing a game because like a failed charge fucked you so hard. Like, oh, I move half and then get my shit wrecked. So now having it having pre-measure, you just pre-measure and you go like these guys are in range, and if they have an objection to that, they go like they're not in range. You're like you know, you can decide before you go like I'm declaring a charge and fucking myself because of this, you know, quarter of an inch.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, so, and it's there is some, as I say, with a friendly game, it's kind of fun because I mean like, and Bolt Action, which as I always say is the game I'm currently playing, so and it doesn't use the pre-measurement system. It can be kind of fun because there's certain times where you're like, ah, do I, don't I? I mean, like, and that's what I think of, like, with 6th edition fantasy. It's the same way. It's like, is this going to be in range? Is this not? It could be a lot of fun that way. But I'm saying with a tournament game, it doesn't make sense to have non-pre-measuring because there's so many things that people can get butthurt about with it.
Yeah. I mean, and ranges are so, you know, ranges are important. And, like, having the ability to be like, okay, this is not in range. And then adapting to the fact that they're not in range, even though they looked like it, you know, that's good.
Yeah. And plus, there's so many stupid things with like, okay, well, you set up half the table's a standardized 48 inches across. Your deployment zone is 12 inches up. So you're able to kind of, you know, and his deployment zone is 12 inches up. So you can kind of figure it out from there if you're, as long as you're paying attention.
Exactly. So, and like I said, and they had a built-in loophole to pre-measure.
Yeah.
Already.
And you know, there's those dicks who would be like, who'd have like the notepad and they would be like writing down their measurements and your measurements to kind of like figure it out.
But that was the way the game was designed. It was like, it was supposed to have this like weaponized trigonometry thing. And like, they're just like, yeah, we just got rid of that. Cause it's a fucking, it's extra complexity for no good reason.
No, from everything that I've heard so far about Warmer Hordes and things that you're describing, they are leaning heavy towards the competitive edge of the game. They want this to be the new competitive mini game out there.
There's, what else did they change?
I shouldn't say new, but the
They want this to be the standard.
The standard, yeah.
There's so that pre-measuring is in. Focus fury changes. Points costs have been quote unquote doubled, but they're not actually doubled. What it is the previous scale of points was too narrow. So like the solos being 1, 2, or 3 points means you have a lot of solos that are wholly over, they would be broken at 2 points, but they're overcosted at 3 points.
Yeah.
And then you have guys like Gorman DeWolf, who is 2 points and he's fucking broken, but he'd be miserable at 3 points. Just like a weird.
No, and that makes sense. I never really liked the way that Warmer Hordes did their point cost. I mean, I liked that the simplicity of it, but I also think that it did narrow the cost. I mean, essentially what they're doing is they're just balancing it out.
It's going to be a 100-point game, and now Gorman DeWolf is going to be, you know, 5 points.
Yeah.
Because they needed the ability to put people at odd numbers where it would make sense.
Yeah.
And then Colossals are all getting way juiced in points. So, like, they're going to be, like, 40 points or 50 points. So it's literally half your army if you're playing at 100 points, which looks like it's going to be the standard size game is 100 points.
Yeah, that's really high.
But it's not, because remember, everything's doubled.
Yeah, but I mean, even if like you think it is a 50-point game, it's still really high.
Because they're gonna, in theory, it won't be a lot of models because Warjacks are gonna be really appealing now. So you're gonna see people taking like 24-point and like 35-point Warjacks. So I don't think it's. I think you can make an absolutely huge army with infantry spam if you want, but I think that would be not effective.
Well, yeah, because with Death Clock, having that many figures on the table would be ridiculous.
You will lose because you will be trying to move figures.
Which is another great thing. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I don't not actively like... I don't hate Warmer Hordes. I think it's actually a really good system. It's just a little too complex for me in terms of, like... Not complex, that's a bad word. But the competitiveness of it and, like, having to learn the combos, it's kind of like magic at this point for me, where it's like... I get it, and it's actually kind of fun to play on like a friendly level. But the competitiveness, I'm like, I just don't care enough to be that. Or Call of Duty, or like people who play Call of Duty online, and they get so fucking competitive. It's
they
like
learn the meta.
Yeah, it takes me. The way to get me into it is not, it's not fun because I'm like, well, why do I want to play this? I'm going to get my ass reamed.
Supposedly, all of the they haven't said anything about newer combos in the way they are. Supposedly. they haven't exactly said what's what, but the statement I heard was all of the current combos in the game are dead.
Oh, cool.
So
you gotta learn a whole new,
it's from the ground up, it's a, you know, it's a new, it's what's old is new. And
so they probably spent probably the good last year really refining the system, which is
the
reason
they said they've
been
working on it for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, which is probably the reason why Mark II stagnated as much as it had, is they probably put a lot of work into it. So you're probably going to see a much better game.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. I mean, all the rules change. They went over some of the army specific rules changes because, like, I was asked, the first question I had was the convergence. I was like, you know, what the fuck? What's there? Because their big thing was they could move off focus between warjacks, but their jacks were, you know, not that great. So having one focus point to move through your warjacks was kind of like, it was a cool bonus, but it wasn't enough.
I could see you being like, well, and this, he's riding a winged Appaloosa, and in this one, it's a winged Arabian. I hope someone got fired for that blunder.
Jeez, how could they blow it so hard?
Hold on just a second.
Yeah, and then I had like I had a skeleton unit flank a unit, and a knight unit charge the front, and I did one wound.
Nice.
Which means I flubbed on like 40. Oh no, and I had a character in it too, which means that I was like, we're talking 50 dice. Like I missed fit. Like that was my that's my average usually.
Yeah. 15 wounds on it, and you needed a day 8 to break it.
Oh, okay.
But you rolled a 7.
Yeah.
It was fucking garbage.
Yeah.
It was my usual, like, I can't roll whatever I need, just trash.
Sorry if that seemed like we jumped what we were talking about. I had to run to the bathroom really quick, and I just unpaused
so,
it.
So, Wormhordes.
Yeah.
Wormhordes is like, they're just, you know, they're like, everything's coming back. They've changed all the armies. And what the big thing with Convergence is you can now do 3 points of focus.
Ooh.
So that means that they can have a fully focused warjack. Every warjack in their army can be fully focused for the expenditure of 2 focus.
Okay.
So, or no, rather, it is 3 because they don't have the rule where all their warjack get a focus point for free. That power up is gone. They don't have that.
But can you? I don't know. I was going to make fun of you for a second. I just can't think of anything really that funny.
you don't know enough about War Machine Hordes.
I don't know.
Do
I was going to say something about tapping mana, but I can't think of something right now.
And the other huge news for minions.
Yeah.
The Pigmen and the Gatorman now are fully usable together.
Oh, cool.
So for the longest time, people were like, please give us this army. Like, they're 2 half armies. Just let us play them together. And now they're like, yep. Pigmen and Gatorman are now living together. The 2 tastes.
Well, the Pigmen and the Gatorman should be friends.
2 great tastes that taste great together.
Yes, like chocolate and peanut butter.
Then you have the mercenaries as well. Same thing for the War Machine side. They are now
the pirates can fight with the
dwarves.
Dwarves, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the biggest thing for the dwarves were some of the strongest mercenary choices, but they were also the most restrictive.
Yeah.
Now you can actually, you know, stick them where you want. And we know where you want to stick them.
Stick them. Up my bum. You're going to shit yourself, dude. Oh, I think you just did.
So that's a huge change. All of the army's weaknesses have been, like, problems have been addressed. So, like, Protectorate, their mat on their warjacks has all been raised by 1. So they're all 6 now instead of 5. And the reason they were at 5 before is because their buff spell was a +2. And it was 2 OP at 7, or 2 OP at 8. But okay at 7. But they're like, the buff was too important, so they just tried to, like, that's the kind of tweaking they're doing. They're like, we're just changing the buff now adds 1, and your base stat is now 6 instead of 5 and 2.
Let me ask you this, because you've probably been seeing this way more than how has the butt hurt been with the fans?
The biggest point of contention appears to be the pre-measuring.
Yeah,
but I would say that the quantity of butthurt is very small.
Yeah, because I mean the butthurt on Bolt Action version 2 is intense.
Yeah, no, it's not like that. It's like there's so if there were 10 guys in the room, 1 guy would probably be really upset. If we're doing the sample size, that's probably about.
Yeah, I mean, like, level. I've gotten to that point in my life where I'm just like, well, fuck it, whatever they want to make the rules to be, I'll be okay with it. We'll work with
well,
it.
Well, I mean, because War Machine has been the same edition for about 6 years.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who have, this is their first minis edition change.
Yeah.
They don't know.
I guess, yeah, that
like,
would be a thing.
They're like,
yeah.
Oh my God, this happens?
I mean, I guess it's been about 4 years since the demise of the 40K tournament, the 40K behemoth. So I guess this is like a lot of people's first real edition change. Because when 40K went from, what is that, 7th to 8th, I think that's when like a lot of people like officially left and like started War Machine. And so I guess this would be like they're the big change for War Machine. So
yeah.
I guess a lot more people be playing Guild Ball.
I don't think so. No, I think this is actually going to kill the growing trend of Guild Ball. Because a lot of the guys who were going to Guild Ball were not satisfied with the way War Machine and Hordes was right, you know, at the moment. So unless they dumped their army, which they might have.
They might have.
If they kept their army, they'll probably be dumping Guild Ball and playing War Machine and Hordes again, though. Ooh. Or just, I mean, they might keep Guild Ball because it's only like 7 models, but...
But it's sports ball.
It is. It is.
All right. So I would have...
Sports ball game.
I went to Half Price Books before I came here, and I picked up something. I picked up some fun stuff.
Is it porn?
No.
Do they sell porn at Half Price Books?
They do sell hentai.
Nice.
I found these.
Some West End Game Star Wars books.
Oh yeah.
Are they all second edition?
They are all second edition.
a real fan will be playing a first edition.
But the I've been actually looking for these because these I think are the only three books you really need for West End Star Wars. So yeah. It's the main rule book and the Imperial and Rebel source books.
Finally, Amon Calamari.
Graphic Bothanon, Bothan violence.
I mean the one good thing Bothan violence. Like I said, the one good thing about this is that it doesn't have Jedi, which is the stupidest thing in Star Wars.
Yeah, pretty much. I was saying earlier, my daughter's been obsessed with the Episode 7, so she. I gave her all my old Star Wars toys. I have a ton of old Star Wars toys from the 80s and the 90s stuff. Like, I had a bunch of it. And so she's been playing with it. And she's like, I don't have a Rey figure. And I'm like, oh, well, I'll see if I can find it. So I went to Toys R Us.
And she's just been like, but you could use one of the other rich and varied female characters in Star Trek.
Star Wars.
There you go. Here's Slave Leia.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I was like, well, okay, I'll go find one. So I went to the Toys R Us near me, and it was, like, none of it. None of the Rey figures. It was all, like the random alien dude from the movie. I'm like, well, fuck you, Hasbro, or whoever makes these toys, because, like, you know that there are people who want to buy the main figures. Why are you overpacking all these?
Oh, they shafted Rey.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, you couldn't even find...
a ton. Like, in Monopoly, there's no Rey piece.
You couldn't find... Like, you couldn't find any of the main characters. You couldn't find Poe. You couldn't find Finn. You couldn't find Kylo Ren.
Poe is a main character is stretching it.
I know, but I mean, still, he is a relatively main character in it. I mean, I would put him on the level of, I don't know, I wouldn't say Wedge, because Wedge had less screen time, but, I mean,
it's also a poor man's Wedge Antilles.
he is a little bit of a poor man's Wedge Antilles. I mean, like, Poe is like a funny Wedge. Like, Wedge was all business all the time. But then, so I went there and I was like, oh, okay.
His name was also Wedge. Fucking Star Wars. Our Star Wars names are the worst.
It's how he's supposed to shoot that's no bigger than 2 meters. He's the bullseye.
I used to pick Womprint, so he teaches me back home.
And then Wedge was like, listen here, dick.
Yeah, there's no way.
Fuck you. But no, so I went there and I'm like, okay. So then I was like, fine. So I went to the Toys R Us that's another Toys R Us, and I was like, same thing. I was like, fuck these fucking neckbeard mouth breathers. I can't buy my daughter a fucking Rey figure.
It's just like, there's the other rule. The other rule of Star Wars, just like how there can only be two Sith, there can only be one black guy.
Yeah.
Which is why Lando is not in Episode 7. Because there can only be one black person in all of Star Wars, in the galaxy, at a time.
Actually, I think there's like three black guys in the new movie. I mean, only one has a speaking part, but the other two... Well, I think the other one might be like, we're coming in hot.
I don't know
like
that,
one of those lines.
I don't know if that counts. Yeah. they don't have names.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, because you got Lando, you got Mace Windu, and
Finn.
That's it.
I get it. So I'm like, goddamn mouth breather, neck beards. I can't buy a fucking, because I guarantee you, as soon as like the shipment comes in, they all like go on the forums and they're like,
oh, see, no, you haven't been paying attention. Like they Rey is an underproduced figure.
I'm
like,
just saying all of the figures that like the main character figures, Kylo Ren.
Well, yeah. So I'm selling Star Wars toys, so I know the waves are all cocked up, and this is why it's hard to find figures of specific characters, because when they produce a wave of figures, they produce like 4 to 6.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And then they go to the next wave. But when they, and like, they don't restock the other waves.
Ugh, it's so stupid.
The one wave will be like, it has Finn. It has two stormtroopers and like
random alien
and like a Jawa.
Yeah.
And then that one comes out. Then the next wave will have Rey and then like two rebel guys and then like a Wookiee.
Yeah, it's
and then the next wave will. That's the thing. Like the main character, they don't refer. It's the opposite of the Batman problem, where you have
like eight different Batman,
infinite Batman, where it's like he's Arctic Camo Batman.
Arctic Camo Batman is the worst Batman.
You know
ever.
What? You know what's the best? I was watching the show. They finally put it on Netflix, but the Batman.
Oh yeah.
And
was that the CG one?
No, that's Beware the Batman.
Okay,
that one was terrible.
Yeah,
Batman was one that came out. It's very like edgy aesthetic. It's got like a really weird look. I like it a lot, actually. It's one of my
I don't know that one. I watched Brave and the Bold. That
Brave
was the last one
too.
I watched.
This one's kind of the opposite of Brave and the Bold. This one also takes the characters in a different direction, but it's kind of a weird direction. So like the Joker is like kind of like weird and lanky. He doesn't wear shoes and he's like capoeira kind of guy.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's like he's weird. He's
capoeira.
Like, the thing that's cool is like this Joker like fights Batman. Like
Does he Brazilian dance fight Batman?
Yes, pretty much. Every villain in the Batman fights Batman. Like they all fight him. Like they're not. There's no like.
Batman comes in, beats up goons, and then captures the
guy. Right. Right.
Yeah, okay.
So like the Penguin's like, you know, fucking flipping around and like shooting him with his umbrella, and the Penguin has these two Asian like assassin ladies with claws, and like they're, you know, they're trying to kill him. But in an episode of the Batman, the Mr. Freeze episode, he goes to get Mr. Freeze, who in this version is a like small time crook who was like driving a fucking getaway car and like crashed in like a cryogenics thing, and he just has ice powers.
Ooh, ice powers.
So he's like, he's got like a frozen head and he just like shoots ice out of his hands. Like he doesn't, it's not super science, and he doesn't have the ice gun. He's also not Dr. Victor Freese. He's just some fucking criminal.
Yeah.
But he's going after him in his like frozen fortress, and he actually gets in the fucking Arctic Camo outfit. It's got the white it's got the white hood, and I was like, it's Arctic Camo Batman.
Arctic Camo Batman, the one Batman figure that your parents would buy you because they just like, I don't give a shit.
No, it's because it would always be there.
Yeah, it would always be there too.
It's like, who was like, what Batman do you want, honey? It's like, I want the one that's white. I want the stark white Batman.
Well, and that's the thing, and like, and it's like, as a concerned, not a concerned parent, but as a parent who knows better, I'm going to go get my kid the figure that actually is the important figure. Like,
yeah, you should probably just, you know, use Amazon like a normal human being.
Amazon doesn't have them either. I was looking and they were like $26 because fucking neckbeards were buying them all
up
and selling them. I know, but I'm not going to pay that much money for it. Like, I refuse to do that. But anyway, so I finally went to the Toys R Us that was right by here, and they had the Ray wave, you know? So I was like, oh, finally a Ray figure. And as I picked up the figure, a literal like standard nerd, like the guy,
like a totally classic nerd,
like classic, like, you know, wearing the cargo pants with the flip flops and like the too tight t-shirt that were like under part of the belly is like hanging out, and like the huge big neck beard, and like just greasy, gross looking, just like totally saunters up and pulls four of them off the wall to buy them. I'm like, you asshole. Like, I was so close to like literally yelling at him, like, dude, just leave that there for the kids who want to fucking buy it, you know? Don't be that dick.
I mean, it's the toy company's fault. They produce a artificial scarcity.
I understand that, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, you dick.
People want to make money, bro.
I know.
Lots of people who will love their child enough to pay $26 for a Ray toy.
It's true. I don't love my child enough to pay $26 for a Ray toy. I paid $9.
You failed that test.
I paid $8.50 for it, however much it came out with
taxes. You failed the
okay.
test, the classic American test of monetary expenditure equals level of love.
Yes, I agree with that. But I was like, so I was like, okay, fine. I was fucking pissed at the guy. I got what I wanted, but I was still pissed at him. I'm like, you asshole.
Dick.
Yeah, you dick. And so then I went to Half Price Books and I got the Star Wars books there. And at the same time there, they have the cabinet there where they have the rarer books. And there was a bunch of D&D stuff there, right? Nothing too rare. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple books there that I was like, oh, that's actually kind of a rare thing to find. But they were all like really, really fucking expensive. And as I walk up to buy the Star Wars books, and the woman who was behind the counter, I think she's the manager of that Half Price Books. She was like, "Oh, do you play Dungeons and Dragons?" I'm like, "Yeah, I collect the books. And
I've rolled a dice or two.
I've rolled a d20." She was like, "Yeah, I got a bunch of really beautiful Dungeons and Dragons stuff in the center case if you want." And I was just like, at that point, I was just like, I'm like tired of like these people who are gouging at this point. And I'm like, "Yeah, those are just way too expensive for what they are." And she's like, "Well, they are out of print." I'm like, yeah, All of those books are out of print. Every single Dungeons and Dragons book except 5th edition is out of print.
Yeah, this
I literally
is first edition.
I said that. I said everything outside of 5th edition is out of print. And I said all those books that you have up on the shelves are out of print too. And I go, those are just way too expensive. And I just laughed at that point because I was like, fuck you. I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it. Because of course they're out of print. Everything is out of print. And the stuff they had there wasn't even that. It was one or two things that was like kind of on the rare side, but they had a copy of like Ravenloft Carnival of Evil. And I'm like, that book was one of the last things that they produced. And it was like, you can literally find them for like $4 online and you're selling it for 20. Fuck you.
Dude, that's all of those. Everything is going up. All of the old collector stuff is just like, the price is just doop, 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 just climbing up and up and up and up. And just there's, you know why? It's because a new edition of D&D came out and it's fucking popular.
Yeah.
Every time a new edition of D&D comes out, all of the old stuff gets a huge price boost.
Well, luckily this edition is actually good as opposed to the last edition.
It's true. It's
so,
true.
Yeah. Oh my God. The amount of 4-ed books that you could find now are just.
Well, 4th edition is worth nothing.
Yeah.
That's a constant.
Yeah. And that's why
I actually picked up something myself.
What'd you pick up? Let me see. I was wondering what those were. I saw those. Oh, nice.
I got the.
Where'd you get these from?
You know, an undisclosed source.
Undisclosed source. You know what? I love the Lord of the Rings stuff. What I don't like is
the Decipher Lord of the Rings role playing.
Yeah,
game,
the Decipher. Sorry about that. What I don't like is I don't like this, and it's kind of hard to explain. It's simply an aesthetic thing. I don't like this aesthetic to it. It looks too movie-ish.
Mm.
Like it looks like it's like a movie.
You don't
like
the movie stills.
Like. Yeah, like a movie art book. It looks more
right.
like.
Well, I mean, this is clearly a movie. You know, it's a movie tie-in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
RPG.
Absolutely. And you got the three books in the core book. These are nice.
I actually don't have the Return of the King. I have the Two Towers, the Fellowship, and then Fell Beasts.
Yeah.
So I'm still on the hunt for some more. I think there's a total of 11 books in the.
This is a nice thing. If they're all bound like this, this is.
Really,
oh, and they got the numbers on them too. That's really cool.
Yep.
So you could actually put them on your shelf and it will look real nice with it.
Yep.
I like that. I would never buy that because it's, as I say, I don't like the movie aesthetic to it. Like I have the Star Wars books right here, and like you open it up, and it's all just like these black and white drawings.
Well, yeah, because that was before they could do high end
high end printing. Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
You have to pay more if you use the movie stills, because then you have to tie, you have to put the movie brand, you have to, you know, if there's actors in there, there's a whole bunch of more like for
likeness rights and
stuff. For example,
like that.
Imperial Assault is available Imperial Ass Assault is available at a worse discount. To distributors and retailers because of likeness rights.
Yep.
It's a more expensive game for Fantasy Flight to produce because they have to pay more to make that game.
Yeah, and it's fine. I mean you got to pay what you got to pay for it. And I appreciate it. I mean those are really nice though. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of tie-ins, how about that Dark Souls Kickstarter? For the Dark Souls game.
Oh, you mean the one that made $175,000 in a few minutes?
Was it 100? I thought it was like 175 million. I think it didn't it break the 1 mil at this point?
Oh yeah, it's well over that. I can bring it up now, but no, it was past $175,000 in a couple minutes, like literal minutes.
I didn't look too deep into it. I just looked at the figures. I thought the figures were pretty cool looking.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
Yeah, it's done by Steamforge, and didn't they do Guild Ball?
They do Guild Ball.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
So I bet you so it's at 1.3 million right now. 1.3 million pounds.
Yeah, 1.8 million US dollars.
Yeah. So yeah,
almost 2 million bucks. 2 million smackers.
I mean, it's $100. You basically get all of the stuff.
Yeah, you pretty much get everything. And then they have it's really simple. There's a pledge thing where you get the game and you get all that the stretch goals, and then they have add-ons for each of the bosses.
Yeah, they're kind of doing the
Reaper Bones.
Not Reaper Bones. Yes, Reaper Bones, but the I'm thinking Soda Pop model, where it's like there's only like two pledge levels.
Yeah. Well, there's actually only one, because the second one is
for retailers.
Yeah.
So there's like one pledge level, and then you just add on for what you're interested in.
Right.
And I think the models are really cool, and I didn't dig too deep into the play style.
I think it's actually, to be honest, from what I've been reading and looking, it seems like it's a game that's designed for one person.
Well, you are playing Dark Souls.
Right.
So you're probably a very lonely person.
It seems like it's designed for, yes, because, you know, it's one of the most successful games of all time. And
well, would you put that you posted the thing? It's like it comes with the figures, the game ads, and a nerd to tell you you're playing it wrong.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. Well, that's the reason why it's a lonely lifestyle, because it's like if you're playing with anyone else, you're going to be like, no, this is not how you play it.
Well, see, that's the best thing about it. When you do multiplayer in that game, when you summon people into your game, you can't talk.
Yeah,
there is no chat.
Well, yeah.
So it's they come in, they help you, they leave. That's it.
but I dig the figures. I kind of feel it's weird because I know it's not. I know Kingdom Death is a completely separate thing, but I kind of feel like it's a toned down version of Kingdom Death in terms, because I'm not a huge Dark Souls fan at all. I make fun of it. But I know people love it, and people love the aesthetic of the game, but I kind of feel like in looking at these models, which is probably the first time I've ever actually looked at a lot of the Dark Souls stuff, it kind of feels like a tamed down version of Kingdom Death. I mean, there's not enough penises, not enough vaginas.
Like Kingdom Death is I said before when we talked about Kingdom Death, I said it's a juiced up version of Dark Souls.
Yeah, I think I remember you hearing that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a more to the like extreme design of Dark Souls, but it's got that kind of like high goth dark fantasy aesthetic. That's all it is. It's a high goth dark fantasy aesthetic that, you know, several games share. Kingdom Death brought it to a more, I would say, abstract level, because there's the minis and like the monsters and stuff in Kingdom Death are even more bizarre than
Wish I could look at them. I wish someone I knew had a box full of them that I could just look at the models.
Yeah, you know, it'd be cool if someone like opened it and like you put it together. Yeah. But I don't know anyone who has that.
Yeah.
The aesthetic's weirder, and the hands, you know, all the hands.
All the, yeah, there's lots of hands.
Poots owes us a giant model with hands for wings, like with many hands for wings instead of feathers. Poots owes us. He said he was going to do it.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it's. I mean, it. Obviously
I would like it also have a giant penis that has hands for testicles.
Sure, that's fine. Actually, you know,
fist
hands holding the testicles.
Oh, hands holding the testicles. Yes. I kind of like that too.
Yes. So that, like, I mean, obviously, this game was going to be
supporting them.
Yeah. Obviously, this game was going to be a smash. This is like a no-brainer. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, Dark Souls Wargaming Kickstarter. It's going
to
make a fuck ton of money.
Well, I mean, and not only that, I mean, you gotta hand it to Steamforge that they did do pretty kick-ass models.
Yeah,
for
they captured the game's look perfectly. Like Ornstein and Smough look fucking awesome.
I'd like to see the final production run on the models to see how they actually look, because I one thing I did notice about it is that the swords and stuff with that are really, really thin. Mm-hmm. And so, like, a lot of times in these mass-produced games like that, those tend to get a little bendy.
Or break.
I mean, it depends on what type of material they're using. Yeah, like, if you're using, like, the bonesy material, it's going to be bendy.
Yeah, I don't know what they're using. I would imagine that, like, I actually don't know if Guild Ball models are metal or resin, but
I do like the Dragon Slayer with the Executioner. I love that model. It's so cool looking.
That's Ornstein and Smough. They're one of the hardest fights in the game. It's like one of them shows up and the other one's there, and you're like, oh, it's two bosses at once. It's fucking brutal.
I love the crystal lizards, though. They're like the dumbest looking things ever.
So, yeah, those things are awesome. Those are, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do in the game, but in the video game, when you kill those guys, they drop a rare stone.
Oh.
Like, they're there, they usually hide, and they make a little twinkling noise. It's like, twinkle, 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 and you're like, oh, there's a crystal lizard, so you, like, look for him and kill him. The mimics are awesome, though. Do you see the mimics?
Let me see.
I'll zoom in up on them. I got it right here. Take a look at their mimics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, their mimics are fucking sweet, because the Dark Souls, if you're familiar with the D&D-style mimic, where it just looks like a treasure chest with teeth and arms pop out of the side, well, the Dark Souls mimic is even more than that, where there's a giant floppy tongue and there's a huge long body that comes out under the treasure chest and has long legs. And listen, Dark Souls has a very dark D&D first edition aesthetic. That's what it is. But it's like a dark version. There's nothing comical.
I liked your description of it is the high gothic fantasy. Yeah. Like the Lamentations of the Flame Princess kind of appeal to it.
Yes, exactly.
Where all of the armor's super ornate or like just
or
brutal.
Garbage.
Yeah, or yeah, garbage. Yeah. Or what I'm saying is like the aesthetic is either like super ornate or brutal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That's a good, you know, their armor's like loaded with like fucking filigree and like there's fleur-de-lis on top of fleur-de-lis and they're, you know.
Yeah. You know what's another game that uses that is Golem Arcana kind of used that aesthetic a little bit.
I think so. I didn't.
Where it's like you have this Golem giant Arcana thing and then it has this like weird like kabuki mask in the front of it.
Okay.
And you know, like that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then like, you know, the giant bosses are like a part of the thing. I mean, it works really well. It looks cool. I have decided I'm not going to back it.
Yeah.
Even though I am, like I said before, I'm a huge Dark Souls Mongo. I just have so much shit.
You also have Kingdom Death that you have in a box in your closet that you haven't even opened
right.
yet.
That's
and
what,
it's
again,
like,
that comes back to what I was saying. I have so much shit.
Yeah. I would... If you haven't...
I haven't even played Twilight Imperium yet, and that game is built. It's like, it's just a it's a board game.
Yeah. I have that too, and I still have yet to really play it.
So, like, it's kind of like, oh...
Yeah, I want to play it real bad. I played smaller games of it, like testing it out, but I have yet to play it like with like four other grognards who like were all sitting around the table like with cigars on forks and like monocles playing.
Yeah, because what I want to do is I want to learn how to play that game. I'll probably just try and do it by myself.
Yeah.
And then once I have a grasp on the game, then I'll try and teach it to people. Because I don't want to have like I've tried learning games with people, and like if it's complex, it's usually not fun.
The first game is miserable.
Yeah, it's usually like, and then it taints the rest of the, you know.
There's a couple good YouTube like playthroughs of Twilight Imperium that are pretty good, with the exception, like, you have to sort through them, because there's a couple where the guy's like, oh, these are your planet cards. This is your ships and planet sun killer model thing.
He starts eating.
Yeah, exactly. It's like those type of guys. Look, there's a reason why I don't make like playthrough videos and stuff like that, because I'm always like, I have a lot of those in my vocabulary that I use quite often. I don't like doing it too much.
There's new orc models on the workshop site.
Yeah, those are like. So essentially. So I play regularly with a Games Workshop manager, not the one, you know, a different one. Yeah, exactly. And my
the brutes, they look like shitty mega knobs.
They're not orcs, dude. They're orcs.
Whatever. They look like shitty mega knobs.
I know. And the thing is that like I literally have to set a timer on my clock so I don't make fun of Age of Sigmar too often in front of him. Because we play games that are not Games Workshop, and so I'm always just like. And he's like, oh, this game was great. And I'm like, yeah, it's fun to play a game that has rules in it. And he's just like, and he's like, it grates on him so much how much I make fun of Age of Sigmar. I have to be like, that's my Age of Sigmar joke. Reset the clock. Yeah, I will make fun of Age. And one day will come where I will not make fun of Age of Sigmar. But today is not that day.
Today is not that day. For 6th edition.
Yeah.
You're running forward with fucking
for 6th edition.
Yeah, for 6th edition.
I'm running for my hardcover book and I just hit him with it. You know why that book hurts so much? Because it's filled with rules.
With me fucking running with Andriel Flame of the West.
I set my 6th edition book on fire and throw it at him. I would set the Age of Sigmar book on fire and throw it at him. Yeah, but I mean, as I say, I would back
Andriel, Flame of the West, reforged from the shards of Narsil.
It's a good Kickstarter to back if you're going to back something.
Yeah, it looks sweet.
Shit ton
if you
of
missed
stuff.
Out on Kingdom Death and you don't want to drop $400 on the retail version, then go for Dark Souls.
Yeah,
Dark Souls is a much more reasonable $100 price.
But in my own personal feelings, I probably would say Kingdom Death is more my bag.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Kingdom Death is Kingdom Death is a weird game. Also, mechanically, it looks, because the Dark Souls game is, for all intents and purposes, it's going to be a difficult dungeon crawl.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it is, though. It's going to be, you know, you get drops from, it's literally a dungeon crawl.
Yeah.
You know, you go in, you kill enemies drop items, you use items to defeat the boss. You know, that's the game, which is Dark Souls. You know, that's what Dark Souls is. It's a dungeon crawl.
Yeah.
But with Kingdom Death, you have, you know, the game is deeper. It's a 4X game. So, like, there's, like... You're exploring. There's like a hunt phase where you can go and try and kill a monster, but there's wandering monsters that can show up and fuck up your camp. There's leveling up. There's building. You can decide how you want to like progress your settlement. Like, we're going to go for fire, and then you go for fire weapons. Like, the complexity level is way higher in Kingdom Death than it is in Dark Souls. So it's more reasonable for like an average person to get into the Dark Souls board game than Kingdom Death, I would say.
Yeah.
Also, the fact it's a single player, like it seems like there's a focus on single player is really cool. I always like games like even if they're good at multiplayer, I always love games that have a single player mode, simply for the fact of one, I don't like people, so I like being able to play games by myself, and two, I like learning the game by myself, and then I can go, oh, you know, because a lot of times when you encounter like an early rules issue, you're going to fucking hit it whether you're playing with yourself or other people. So if you encounter a weird interaction and you're like, huh, how the fuck does this? It happened to me when I was playing the Lord of the Rings card game. I was like, how the fuck does this? Why does this go there? I couldn't figure out something. And I actually went online and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then sure enough, when I first played that game with someone, like 20 minutes into the game, they're like, what about this thing? And I'm like, ah, I encountered that problem. So here's what we do. This is the solution. So having that option in a board game is always welcome for me.
Well, and so I'm glad there's people like you, because like me, I'd be like the type of person who would cheat through it. Because if I got no one watching me, I'm cheating.
So you're telling me your fighting fantasy book is just like got a bunch of erase marks and
yeah, pretty
do you
much.
Play fighting fantasy?
No, but it'd be like choose your own adventure. I'd have my thumb on the page to go back.
That's fighting fantasy was like that, but it was you had a character sheet and stats. It was basically role playing, but
yeah,
the book was the DM.
I know the book. Yeah, I know the
fucking
game.
Love
the
fighting
game.
Fantasy, and I guess while it, like in the '80s, Steve Jackson Games did fighting fantasy, but it was a fucking toll number, like you called.
Oh,
and there was an over the phone like fighting fantasy thing where you your character carried over and shit. I don't know. It seemed like a fucking insanely amazing thing.
Yeah.
But like, no, talk about retro entertainment.
You know, for me, it was...
Use your touch-tone phone and dial 1-900-HOT-DUNGEON.
If you'd like to stab the dragon with your sword, press 1. If you'd like to run and cower in the corner, press 2.
No, I guess the game tracked more than that. So, like, if you didn't have, like, the king's shield, it'd be like, you must go back. You do not have the king's shield. And it just goes, boop, and it just, like, puts you back to somewhere.
You just like, smash your hand on it. It's like, you have chosen regicide. You have killed the king of Andorin.
Your fingers are too fat. If you would like to order a special dialing wand, please mash the keyboard with your hand.
Exactly.
Pencil.
I don't want to look like a psycho. I'll take the moo-moo.
But the is there anything else like gaming wise that
I mean the huge big news is new War Machine and Dark Souls Kickstarter.
Warmamords.
Just big timing. Knowing
that on Monday we're gonna have some other gigantic
Games
news.
Workshop announces the cancellation of Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, I don't know those new orcs. It's like, why even bother having Age of Sigmar at this point when you could just put it into 40K world? Take your Sigmarites, put them in the 40K world, take your orcs and blend them in with your orcs and be fine, but be done with it.
I don't know.
You know, it seems like a
token gesture, and they really just wanted to cancel the game.
It does seem like a token gesture. I don't know though. They've put out a lot of shit for it lately.
They really?
Well, they put out all those dwarves. It was a shit ton of dwarves.
There really wasn't a lot, though. If you look at it, amount. And I think that a lot of these were, who knows if they're still working on more. You know what I mean?
That's true. But what I'm saying is like, even if, like, okay, so let's say they did 8th edition, or whatever, a 9th edition. Let's say they did a 9th edition, and they were going to put out new dwarves for the 9th edition. They would only put out, like, 3 or 4 new boxes. That's all they would put out.
They would keep the old things in production, and now they're like they're discontinuing shit. Like the Bretonians are gone.
Yeah,
High Elves are gone.
They discontinued a shit ton of the High Elves.
Tomb Kings
stuff.
Are gone.
Yeah, but no one played Tomb Kings except you, Steve.
Don't get me started. But I mean, like so many. I mean, a lot of the undead is like so many of the armies are disappearing. Yeah. They're just boop boop boop. They're just phasing them out. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a very very small range for Age of Sigmar at some point where it's barely any models and it's just going to be a pushed back, discontinued. It's going to be a slowly discontinued game. I think.
Yeah,
I
agree.
They refocus on 40K and the new specialist games, which is, looks like that's going to be the direction they're going to take the company.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't released Blood Bowl yet. It's been on like the queue for a while now.
I imagine they're going to do they probably want to have whatever the next thing is waiting in the wings,
Well, I know they're probably waiting for like whatever the end of the next quarter.
Yeah. And there's going to be the redone commitment to Lord of the Rings as well.
Yeah.
The Middle-earth strategy battle game.
Yeah, if that ever happens. I'm not holding my breath on that one.
We'll see. I mean, supposedly from what this is all the rumor mill, but the rumor mill is that New Line didn't give them a lot to work with for Battle of Five Armies.
Yeah.
Which is why there was almost no models released for it. Cuz New Line just didn't give them the shit. So like they're like, yeah, we were because they released a good amount of models for both The Hobbit and for
Lord of the Rings.
Desolation of Smaug,
yeah,
and hey. Unexpected Journey, but Battle 5 Armies.
Oh, you're talking the movie Battle 5. I'm thinking right. The box game Battle 5 Armies. Yeah,
I'm talking the movie. And you know, the New Line didn't give them a lot of stuff for Battle 5 Armies, so that's why there's no Dane on Big Pig, and there's like, you know, that's why a bunch of those like conspicuous models, because even if they did a small wave, you know, they're still gonna do. They probably would have done Thranduil on his like War Elk and stuff.
Yeah,
they didn't do that because New Line didn't. They New Line kept a bunch of that stuff under wraps from them, so they're like, we don't know why, but yeah, they're going to be consolidating the ranges. The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings. They're going to squish the ranges, and it's going to be the Middle-earth strategy battle game. Supposedly, it's going to be you know, like a fully supported line. We'll see. I mean, I'm excited for it because, you know, I fucking love Lord of the Rings, and if I'm going to buy anything with Games Workshop on it, it also needs to say Lord of the Rings on it, and if it doesn't, I won't. So we'll see. Also, they don't use those stupid fucking CAD models. I am actually, like, I've had it up to fucking here with the Games Workshop CAD model aesthetic. Looking at that fucking wyvern, it's, like, got the super fat head and, like, super fat body, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's chunky.
It's chunky, but everything's chunky. All of their CAD models are super chunky.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, it's like
the Star Dragon. Same thing.
Star Dragon!
It's like, there's no curves. It's like, everything's like got like straight, angular, like blocky lines.
Yeah. No, I understand. And like, I get it completely. With the Lord of the Rings, though, it's like, has that ship sailed to the Undying Lands? Like,
I don't think so. I think there's still, I mean, judging by the fan base and the support and the people looking for Lord of the Rings models, like, just look at the price of Lord of the Rings models. And it's not that they're, it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, these are valuable, but people don't buy them. Like, people are dropping bank on those figures because people want them. And I think there is demand for them. And look at the most expensive Lord of the Rings miniatures are the ones you can't get anymore at all.
Yeah.
Not just metal. Like, you'll get a bump in value if they're metal and they're still available from the Workshop Direct site. But because they'll be in resin on the website. But the models that are not available on the website, no matter what, even if they're fine cast, like whatever it is, if they're available on eBay but not on the website, those models are worth a ton because everyone is trying to get them. Everyone wants it.
I really should just sell all my shit.
You have Lord of the Rings stuff?
I have so much Lord of the Rings stuff. I'm not. What are you going to offer me? What can you offer me for these?
I don't know. I got a Wrath of King. I got a Kings of War army.
I don't want your Kings of War.
Come on.
I don't want your Kings of War.
Come on.
I don't need your Klingon women.
Come on.
I don't need your fantasy women.
Come on.
I have
some Dark Age.
I have an entire Riders of Rohan army. I have a High Elf army, with all of the metal figures.
Is it painted?
No.
Okay.
It's all unpainted on sprue, pretty much.
Nice.
Some of it's painted, but not much. I have a whole Easterling army with a Mumak and like a bunch of random orcs that I have. It's I don't need any of it, but I just can't get rid of it. I really need to sell it though. I should. I'm not. What offer me something.
I have contacts. I have things.
I have contacts. I have things.
Yeah.
I
mean, what do you want? You have a problem, so I can just like offer you random things, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll show them to you sometime in the future. Right. I have them in like a big, like giant clamshell case that I just, it's weird. Like,
that does sound weird.
So yeah, because you know, I work in a school and we're always throwing out all this old equipment that we don't use anymore. So they had this case that's about half the size of this table, but it's a giant clamshell that they used to keep like those giant headphones in that you'd listen to, like when you plug it into the tape recorder and it'd be like, boop. Today we are going to be learning about cells, and you know, it's like one of those things. But so like the headphones, they were long gone, so they had these giant cases they were just throwing out, and I was like, oh, I'll keep these because they're really great for keeping sprues in. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's like, it's about this.
Oh, it's just in sprues.
Yeah, it's just well, in metal and stuff like that. Okay. But so I just dumped it all in there because I don't need
that's
it.
Actually, that's like, believe it or not, that's a surprisingly reduced value item now.
What, sprues?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's just sprues, like if it doesn't have the boxes, like the difference between stuff going in boxes and not boxes is like lots on. Oh, I mean, because I've been looking, you know, I check on eBay at least once a week for deals on Lord of the Rings models. And most of the time, like I got a metal Sauron with Isildur.
Yeah.
For like $16 because it was out of the box.
Huh.
And inbox, it's like 55 plus.
I saw a really great conversion a guy did for Battle 5 Armies, the 10 mil game, where he used the metal Sauron as his Sauron. So it's like this gigantic Sauron that's like leading the battlefield. I'm like, oh, that is really cool looking. Because he used all the cobblestone casting stuff to build up, because they were doing a Battle of Pelennor Fields army.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice looking like game that he did there, but that was his Sauron.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. And the guy had really great looking Mubox too, because I think Eureka does really cool Mubox looking guys. Yeah, the Eureka 10 mil stuff is fucking gorgeous. I have a bunch of it for Warmaster that I was using, and I would really highly recommend their stuff because it's just really cool looking. And as I say, I'm like on that 10 mil. Like,
hey, I love 10 mil. So like that's the thing with Kings of War 10 mil, I will probably be going into that.
Yeah, well, it all depends on when it happens. It's probably not going to happen until the end of the year, if not next year.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I love 10 mil. Like, I jizzed all over it last cast, and I'm going to do it again. Just everything about 10 mil, I love it. Everything. The terrain. Just building the terrain. Like, just working with those tiny little houses. Oh,
you know what I don't
my
like?
My boner.
You know what I don't like about 10 mil?
There aren't enough people playing it.
Well,
because that's true.
Aside from that. My biggest complaint with 10 mil is on display. Now I know you don't have a ton of your stuff on display, and you had your army on display a while ago, last time I was here, but I have like all these giant cases that I do, and I have custom shelves in there.
10 mil looks weird.
10 mil and on the shelf looks great. Like it looks really cool when it's all organized, but there's so much empty space above it and the next shelf. You're just like, oh, I just feel like this is wasted.
Yep. Yeah. You need like a more, I don't know, narrow shelving system for
it. It's weird.
You need like a custom 10 mil shelving unit.
Actually, IKEA has these floating shelving units now that are really nice that you hang on the wall that are small enough that you could put like some really nice stuff in there. So if you don't, if you have like anything that's like platoon size, you know, like between 10 and 30 figures, it would work really well on display in there.
Okay.
And I think you could do some 10 mil stuff in there as well. It all depends. If I remember correctly, the molding around the windows might be a little too thick for 10 mil, but aside from that, yeah. And you could put, you know, it's IKEA, so you could put lights and stuff in there. It looks really nice. I occasionally look at the IKEA when they do like their new year's stuff that they put out. I'm like, what new shelving do they have that I can look at? Because I have four of their tall cases with double shelves that I've custom shelves that I put in there completely filled. So I need to get a new one.
Yeah. I actually just have a,
you have
some gap filler here.
I was gonna say, like, is that what you have on display? Some DAP?
Some DAP. This is for the Wrath of Kings, actually.
Oh yeah,
fill their base with it.
Oh nice,
because their bases, they have like those recessed things that are made for those Slata resin things.
Yeah,
which is like really cool, except when you realize those resin things are insanely expensive.
Yeah,
it would be more than the price of my army just to do the bases.
Yeah, it is really expensive if you don't have casting equipment.
No, I mean, sure. I mean, I have that. You gave me that shit. But I mean, it's still like, I don't want to do that work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'd rather, like, if I'm not going to use if I was going to use the thing I was going to plug in, I'll just do this.
So,
because I just jizz this in the hole and, you know, put sand on top of it.
So I, you know, well, I'll do a little. I know we're running low on time, but I don't know if you've got anything to do. But on my a little modeling corner, which we don't do too often here, is
modeling corner.
Joe has too much time. So what I use for my basing now, I don't use lip bases anymore. I'm done with lip bases.
I love lip bases.
I use 1-inch washers now, metal washers or. You know, slugs, anything I could get. You could get metal slugs that are 1-inch that are like super cheap. Like literally you could buy a box of 100 for $2, right? So I use those because they're already metal. So I make these custom movement trays for them that I just buy rare earth magnets from China that are next to nothing. And I just customize it. It's really nice system that I use. Since it's already metal, they just pop right on there. I don't have to worry about, you know, magnetizing it and doing all this bullshit. But what I do is I make a custom top for the slugs out of resin, and I cast that, and then I just, you know, pop them out. I can pop out like 100 at a time for next to nothing, so that way I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. The only problem I have with that is that the models that you glue onto those resin, they break off all the time. It's a pain in the ass, so you have to pin them.
Yep, that's why I'm thinking this gap filler is going to work out real good, because I'm going to, when I fill the gap, I'm going to let it dry about halfway, and I'm going to stick the actual model into the gap filler.
Yeah.
So when that dry, like, in theory, I've never done this before, but in theory, when that shit dries and I put sand on top of it, that model is not going anywhere.
No, it won't.
It will break before it gets off
that,
the base.
That dap is pretty good for that. The only thing is like, you have to sand on top of it.
Right.
Because
which I plan to do.
Because it does not take paint very well.
Yeah, I plan to sand on top of it.
It does take paint all right.
Because, I mean, I like the texture. Yeah. And, like, I love, you know, I love basing. It takes forever, but I love it.
Yeah, I hate basing so much. Yeah, that's why I come up with any solution possible
to avoid it.
To avoid having to
like
base.
Basing, I love basing because I love doing the, you know, the getting like the little leaves just right and like putting the, like, oh, this little bush here.
You're the worst.
I love it. That's my favorite.
Like, that's something that I would be like, oh no, you got to put the leaves on there. You got to get the little like tea bags and everything
that's
like
what
that.
I have little packets of leaves.
Yeah, like you got to cut open that potpourri and use that shit. Like, I hate that so much.
Yeah, dude, that's my jam. I love that's that comes back to the 10 millimeter thing. Like, I want to do a fall wargaming table for 10 millimeter. I want to do, like, you know, empty trees with, like, you know, leaves underneath them and just, like, you know, the different color, like, and then some just color changing. Oh man,
it's so funny that you love all that basing and shit, but, like, painting, you're like, good enough.
It's good enough.
For me, it's like the painting is like the prime part.
It's just,
and the basing is,
you know,
good
what?
Enough.
It just goes to show. It's just like Delanois. Like, Delanois is like the master assembly, and like, he's the perfect. Everything's amazing.
And that's where me and you are both like, good enough.
Yeah, exactly. And he's, but you know, everything is perfect, and he doesn't even paint his models.
No.
Not a drop of paint has ever touched a Delanois model.
The thing too that I noticed about a lot of his stuff is that you don't even see like the glue haze.
No, it's perfect.
Like, just sometimes when you super glue on, like, when you're gluing the model to the base, sometimes that little bit of white will like show up on the base, like that haze.
Just a little bit.
And this doesn't even show up.
No,
on there.
His construction is perfect, and not a drop of paint touches those models. So everyone's got their own thing.
Yeah,
I like painting too. I love painting, but not when the problem is, you know, games like Kings of War, where it's like, yeah, it's 240 models and they're all garbage. Like,
yeah. Cool. Well, as I say, like, your painting is good enough.
Yeah, it's fucking good enough.
Tabletop is good enough for you.
Yes,
and I
understand
that.
But now when something I do something like Arena Rex, my models are going to be,
well, this is because there's only four models.
Exactly.
I was actually, the guys I was gaming with, I was like, we were playing some butt action, and they had like their Arena Rex stuff there. And I'm like, you guys have Arena Rex? We should have brought Arena Rex. Why don't we play Arena Rex right now?
Yeah. I actually have to get I'm going to purchase the official Arena Rex dice as well.
Oh, the Arena Rex dice?
Yeah. They got the faction ones.
Like, yes. They had them at Adepticon. You should have went.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be there next year.
Yeah, they had their.
No matter what, I'm going to Adepticon next year.
And
so
they had the. They had like.
I want to schmooze and meet with people and shake hands and, you know, stroke dicks.
They had some like limited edition like of the Egyptian dice too, because I guess they were cast in the wrong color.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so I think those are going to be. You're never going to see those again. But.
Yeah, well, I'll be there. I'll probably pick up any missing Egyptian minis because I don't have the dude with the hyena, so I'm going to get that guy, and then.
They didn't have him there when I was there.
Yeah, he's like brand new.
Brand new, yeah.
So I'm going to get him, and then So I'll be doing that next to Adepticon. I'll be ready to go, and possibly I might even have a small Hordes army.
What are you thinking?
Pigmen and gators. I've said that.
Love pigmen.
I've said before, I was like, there's two things. One, I really like the pigmen, and I also like the gators. And I said, if they ever release a supplement that allows you to use the pigmen and the gators together, I would do a pigmen gator army.
But they're natural enemies in the wild.
And I have to be true to my word, and I have a pigmen gator army. Well, I mean,
the pigmen and gators have a colossal? Or whatever.
They have battle engines, but they do not have a colossal.
I would like a giant pig.
The pigman battle engine is a fucking big cart that has like a giant grinder wheel and like pigs on turrets. And then the Gatorman one is this giant like pillar, and it has these like two giant albino gators pushing it, and there's like a priest on top of it and like candles and shit.
Interesting.
It's pretty cool looking.
Yeah. But they don't have a colossal.
They do not have a colossal at this time.
I wish they had. They would like a giant pig.
Well, there's also a new Hordes faction coming. So who knows what that's going to be? Yeah, it's going to be a brand new faction. So
interesting.
I don't know what it could be because I mean I'm no Iron Kingdoms expert.
I hope it's dinosaurs.
I don't know what it would be.
Dinosaurs.
But that's Scorn. Like the Scorn have
dinosaurs. Yeah, I guess they have dinosaurs.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what faction is missing.
Pterodactyl man.
I don't know what faction's missing. Like I mean I read it's been a long time since I read the original Monsternomicon, the 3.5 book. But
Fishmen. It's Fishmen. But
Fishmen are in the Gatorman army. They're Bogtrogs.
Yeah, but I mean
they even have a Warcaster, Rask. He's even in there. That's what I'm saying.
Stop ruining for me.
I'm not ruining it. I'm honestly trying to figure out what it could be because it seems like they've covered everything in their lore. So I'm like, what the fuck is it? It's bugging me.
It's going to be Half-Link, Steve.
But I guess the Cyrus were... it's probably going to be something with the Convergence, because the Convergence were, like, mentioned in, like, a paragraph, and they were not fleshed out beyond... If there's a nerd expert out there, they can correct me. But, like, they were mentioned in a paragraph, but beyond that, there was nothing fleshed out. And then they're just like, bam, here's that faction. Like, they were sleeping. Theme forces. I forgot to mention that. That's another big thing. So the current thing that's like...
Yeah, I've heard theme forces.
Yeah, one of the things that's wrecking the game right now is theme forces being, like, very contentious. I don't know if it's, like, because they suck or they're too OP or, like, the various power levels are too high. Whatever the case is. That's another thing where it's stagnation, because, like, people are like, you know, this caster is always seen because their particular theme list is broke.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. In the past, I've heard that the best way to be competitive is you have to play a theme for. Yeah. That's just what I've heard. It's probably not right. I don't play the game.
So now there's...
When people mention the game to me, I just go, pfft.
That's what I do when I hear butt action.
Yeah,
exactly. The new...
I got to tell you stuff off... I can't talk about it on air, but I got to tell you some stuff about right. that.
The new thing is going to be factions have theme forces, but it's a faction theme force. So it's like the rising tide, or like the well asunder. And all that is it's a theme force where you have to meet certain requirements, but... It's not tied to the casters anymore.
Oh, okay. So that's the way it was. It was tied to the casters before.
Right. Yeah. So there would be like, well, this warcaster sucks, but this theme force is really good. Or this theme force sucks, but the warcaster is good. You know, whatever the case. So now it's going to be, there are just theme forces and you can take them and plug and play whatever warcaster you want.
That sounds cool. Yeah. I like that idea more than that.
And they're pulling back on a couple of the bonuses. Because the problem that they're like, one of the refocus things is, like, for example, let's say you have a theme force that gives +2 armor to your warjacks. Well, that doesn't show that on your card. So, like, I run up to your warjack and I'm like, your warjack's got armor 17. I'm like, okay, I'm going to whack it. And you're like, actually, it's got armor 19. And I'm like, why does it have armor 19? That's not on the card. And it's like, you don't have a buff or anything. You're like, well, my theme force gives it to me. And I'm like, oh, okay, great.
That's why you need one of those Yu-Gi-Oh card things on your wrist that you can have all the cards on there.
It's time to... Duel!
You just got Shadow
Zone. You're going right to the Shadow Realm.
Shadow Realm. Damn it. I always screw that up.
Not so fast, Kaiba. What you didn't know is my trap card can be activated safely from here. The card of safe return. My monster you destroyed has been returned to the battlefield, and your monster has been destroyed.
You're making me uncomfortable. We have to go to my safe zone.
And now I will attack your life points directly.
We have to go to my safe zone.
Dude, I want to be the star of a card game anime.
You should be.
That would be awesome.
I would like it if it's like you. Like, the way I would do the anime, if I was going to do like a card game anime of you, it would basically be you, like, in your normal everyday life, dealing with like your normal everyday stuff. You look exactly like you. But like you get transported to your card realm and you're like a 3-foot tall, like, cat girl.
Yes.
Yeah. Who, like, does the battle that way.
Nice.
And then, like, once you defeat them, you go back to who you are. And it's
sick.
Like, yeah, that's the way I would do it.
Nice.
So it's like the complete...
Neckbeard Neko-san.
I like it. I like it. We should have someone do this anime for us.
All right, very good.
Or a manga, if you will.
Manga.
I'm from Chicago.
I'll do a visual novel.
A visual novel?
Yeah, I'll do a visual novel.
Yeah. And it's like all your cards. Like, I'd have to, like, figure out, like, how you would display the cards. Because, like, they on Yu-Gi-Oh! They have the arm thing. Like, we have to figure out how that would work.
Well, the big trend, like, with Vanguard and stuff is, like, they have, like, a table that, like, rises up. And they, like, put their cards down on the table. And then it, like, creates the fighting things in the front.
You know what it would be? It would be, you would have... when you find the cards in your real life, like, you have to, like, and then once you
rip in packs,
like, yeah, it's similar like that, but it's like you only find them in, like, other games that you're playing. So, like, Magic, you open up, but then you find the card for, like, your Neckbeard Neko-san game, like, in the card pack, and then, like, you take it up and it's like that's what transports you to this realm. And then the card gets absorbed to you, and then you have your whatever battle animals on your nails, and then you show your nails, like, ching! And then the animals rise up from the table like marionettes. They come down from your hand like marionettes. Nice. And it's like,
That was actually, it's funny that we're talking about ripping packs of, that was one of my favorite things in some of the early episodes of Card Fight Vanguard. There were episodes where, like, before they did their, like, played the game, they were ripping packs. And like, he's like, "What'd you get?" And he's like, "Oh, I got something awesome."
Yeah, that's the way I would play it. Something sweet. Similar to that, like, right. Where you're like, oh, like, you're playing another game that's, like, really lame. Like, that would be the thing. Like, that's how drudgery, the drudgery of your real life is. You're playing, like, this, like, boring vanilla card game. It would probably be, like, called, like, Vanilla Bean or something like that. Because Japanese would like it because it's, like, got bean in it. And Japanese like beans for some odd reason.
Because red bean paste is delicious.
Yeah, like, something like that. So it's called Vanilla Bean.
I want to eat red bean paste right now.
So as you're playing it, you're like, oh, you're at a tournament or something like that. And it's, like, a blind pull tournament, whatever, you know, blind pack tournament. And as you're in the middle of playing the thing, you open it up and then you see the card, you're like, oh no, but this card's gonna transport me to my to the card realm, but I can't do this right now because I'm in the middle of a tournament. And then you're like, it's too late. You know, something like that.
All right,
see, I know nothing of this, so this is all just coming off the top of my head. As the way you're laughing at it, I suppose I may have hit something correctly on that.
So a lot of times, like, card fight was it, I'll use Card Fight as an example. When the anime starts, it's very like, I loved the, like, first season because it's very much like this kid learning to play a card game and he fucking sucks and he gets bodied by everyone and, like, he learns more about the game and, like, he goes to his first tournament and gets shit on and, like, it's very, very, like, set in the real world. And then, like, now it's about, like, space wizards and shit. Well, it's like they go from, like, a very grounded in reality thing and then, like, now it's about, like, time traveling monsters. It's like, you know, the it's so weird. Like, it's like your feet are still planted on the earth, but your head is in space.
I think, oh, also, when you get transported to the realm, you do suck at the game at first, and I'm behind you. Like, I'm, like, the spirit guy who's, like, trying to get you to get good at the game, but I'm dressed as Napoleon. And I don't offer you any advice. I just tell you you're terrible at this game entire time.
Well, shouldn't you be playing then, and I'm telling you you're terrible?
No, that's the whole thing. It's just, like, I'm terrible at the game, too.
You don't know what you're doing?
I don't know
you're
what
just
I'm
putting
doing.
Up a front?
I'm just putting up a front because I'm dressed as Napoleon.
I see. And you do the thing with your hand?
Yeah, exactly. I'm writing a zebra. Okay. That would be the thing. Nice. Going back to zebras. All right, I have nothing else. Do we have any other gaming news to talk about? Because I don't want to talk about this anime anymore.
You're lost.
I'm lost in this anime world right now. Yeah,
you're floundering, man. You're out in the ocean. You're seeing a fin.
All right, go.
Yeah, I think we hit all the gaming news.
Yeah. Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
PlayOnSteve.
PlayOnSteve. Oh, you got a new Twitter?
Yeah. Mitomo.
Mitomo.
Yeah, made me do a Twitter. So I was like,
oh,
I got to get those sweet Splatoon items. So
yeah.
You can now follow me on Twitter. I share a bunch of my me. I'm in a pancake suit right now.
Oh, fun. Yeah. And speaking of Play On, you could listen to the Play On podcast as well as our sister podcast with Pat B in his new house.
And Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast.
Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast. You could also listen to Game Classy. You could also
You're listening to Game Classy right now.
Yeah. You can also listen to Comic Book Logic, where we talk about comic book and comic book movies. This week, we're going to be doing the made-for-TV 1990 Captain America movie in preparation for Captain America, Civil War.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right after this. I'm going and getting drunk, and we're going to watch the Captain America movie. that movie I watched like 5 minutes of it yesterday. I'm like, oh, God, I can't do this sober. You know, you could also listen to us on the YouTubes. This podcast won't get taken on with the DMCA notice, just like every other Comic Book Logic podcast does. And you could also find us on Reddit on Our Game Classy. Actually, on Reddit, if you guys are interested in Arena Rex, I know we talked that up. Arena Rex has a subreddit now that's actually doing pretty well on it. So I would take a look at that if you're interested. Thank you for that, Steve.
I wanted to make sure to get that right in the mic.
Yeah,
that wasn't a commentary on Arena Rex. Oh, yeah. I'm very excited about it, actually. I just had a yawn.
And the best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You know, I haven't checked to see if we've gotten any reviews lately.
Game Classy, anything but classy.
Game Classy, anything but classy, yes. Thank you, James. I know we make fun
that
of...
That was awesome.
I know we like to make fun of the British quite a bit.
I don't, you do.
I do. What can I say? Boiled meat, bad teeth, same thing. So, Steve, until...
I don't know, you can't. You're stretching with that bad teeth thing. I've seen Kentucky.
Well, that's true. God bless Mississippi and Kentucky, because
they're keeping America honest.
What's the other one? Is it North Carolina?
North Carolina.
That's the other one. Yeah.
Any of those shit southern states.
I like the I just on a brief tangent. I know you don't watch Saturday Night Live that often, right?
I see they're like the things on YouTube.
Yeah, did you
God
see
is a boob man?
God is a boob man.
Fucking perfect.
Where the guy was just like, Governor, our state is the lowest when it comes to education, healthcare, and you
highest
know,
in obesity.
Highest in obesity. What should we do? And the woman comes in and is like, I need you to help defend God in a court.
I need to deny like, basic good services to gay people.
Hold on. This is our priority.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was
you know, when I talk about how great America is, I tend to just I compartmentalize the South. It's a completely awful place. So, Steve, until next time.
This is my song now. Just making it up. It's a song because I didn't sing enough on this cast.
Game Classy.